Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Look forward to this time every day. Thank you for joining me. Plenty to get into, specifically on the national sports front. That's what we're going to focus on today. Yesterday was crazy for Major League Baseball. I made jokes about the Colorado Rockies and the San Francisco Giants contest. 19-2 was the final score in the first game. Second contest ended a little bit more competitive. Giants pick up a 2-1 win, and now they are 3.5 games out of the wild card spot. The National League wild card race is simply wild, and that's what we will talk about today. We'll be joined by Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher. He's always kind enough to join us. Typically joins us on Monday, but due to the Rocky-Giants doubleheader yesterday, he was unable to, as he does studio work for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk Major League Baseball, both NL and AL. That is on tap today. Also, I want to talk boxing. Every now and then, one of those fights come along that you just get really excited for, right? Well, we have one this weekend. Manny Pacquiao going toe-to-toe with Keith Thurman. I really don't know what to think of this fight. Pacquiao does not seem to be anywhere near finished. He's looked great over the last three outings. Keith one-time Thurman at one time was one of the brightest welterweights in the world. And due to injuries and inactivity, that has kind of derailed those plans. Those two will clash this Saturday in Las Vegas. Also, we'll talk about the life and career of Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker, who passed away on Sunday after tragically getting hit by a car. One of the great welterweights of all time. I don't think there's any question about that. We talked a little bit about Sweet Pea yesterday. Unable to really go into depth on his career, and we will tackle that on the show today. Let's take a look and see what's happening elsewhere in the national sports scene. Somewhat of a quiet day, but there was one story out of the NBA that caught my attention. Golden State Warriors general manager Bob Myers was talking yesterday about his team and D'Angelo Russell. I thought that was one of the surprise moves of the offseason. I think it was somewhat of a expected move for Kevin Durant to leave Golden State. But I don't know that anyone expected the Warriors to sign D'Angelo Russell. I mean, there was interest in him going back to Los Angeles. Phoenix had heavy interest in him there for a while before the Jazz pulled the trigger on the Mike Conley deal. They were connected to D'Angelo Russell. But then out of the blue, a sign-and-trade sent Russell from Brooklyn to Golden State in exchange for Kevin Durant. And speaking for the very first time since Golden State acquired Russell, in that sign-and-trade, Myers addressed the idea that the Warriors acquired him simply so they could flip him.
It's been written and speculated, and that's fine. That's what everybody's job is to do. We didn't sign him with the intention of just trading him. We haven't even seen him play in our uniform yet, and a lot of people have us already trading him. That's not how we're viewing it. Let's just see what we have. Let's see what he is. Let's see how he fits. Part of our job in the front office and the coaching staff and the organization is how does it all work? But so much of, and I don't blame anybody, this is maybe fan-driven, but so much of our sport at least, and maybe other sports, is what are you doing next? We got to figure out what we're doing now.
Again, that's Golden State Warrior General Manager Bob Myers talking about D'Angelo Russell and the idea that Golden State acquired him just so they could trade him. I thought that was weird from the get-go. And that was the story that was written, and maybe it's because it seems logical, because the Warriors, they have a logjam in the backcourt with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson when he returns. I think this team's going to be very good, and I think you can make it work with D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson, along with Draymond Green, and even Willie Cauley-Stein in the middle. The thing that we all have to remember with basketball, it's nearly positionless now. That's why this D'Angelo Russell experiment could work in Golden State. And while Russell has somewhat been immature throughout his entire career, he's never got to play with the likes of a Draymond and a Steph and a Klay and coached by someone like Steve Kerr. These are NBA champions. So that story did catch my attention today. Bob Myers talking about Golden State being happy with what they got in D'Angelo Russell. And the other thing I want to point out, you know, Oklahoma City is a team we've talked a lot about over the last, I don't know, two or three shows, because they have just lost an abundance of Hall of Fame talent. James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Serge Ibaka. Golden State made sure they were getting something of value in return for Kevin Durant in that sign-and-trade deal. I thought Bob Myers played that perfectly. Let's move on and take a look at Major League Baseball and the scoreboard and schedule. Well, no day games today, but plenty of night action, and it will begin in the 5 o'clock hour. We get Tampa Bay at the Yankees. That's a big, big series right there. As far as the AL East goes, highly entertaining. The Yankees took Game 1 yesterday, topping the Rays 5-4. The Dodgers will look to continue their tear. They blasted through Philadelphia yesterday 16-2 as Cody Bellinger went yard not once but twice. Those two teams will go toe-to-toe again tonight at 5:05. Walker Buehler against Vince Velasquez. Washington will travel to meet the Baltimore Orioles at 5:05. We get Detroit at Cleveland. And then Toronto goes toe-to-toe with the World Series champion Boston Red Sox at 5:10. Last game in the 5 o'clock hour, San Diego, who is slipping a bit in the NL standings, they will travel to meet the Miami Marlins. 6 o'clock hour, the Diamondbacks take on the Texas Rangers. Alex Young goes toe-to-toe with Lance Lynn. The Diamondbacks will be a team of interest over the next, 10 days as the trade deadline looms in Major League Baseball. Cincinnati will battle Chicago. For whatever reason, the Cubs struggle with the Cincinnati Reds. Yesterday, the Reds pick up a 6-3 win. Yasiel Puig continued his tear for the Reds. He is finally playing great baseball as the trade deadline looms, and he is in a contract season. Atlanta will square up with the Milwaukee Brewers at 6:10. Highly important contest for both teams. Bryce Wilson toes the rubber for Atlanta. Milwaukee will send out Brandon Woodruff. The Mets take on the Twins at 6:10. That's Steven Matz against Michael Pineda. That one, again, 6:10 start time of that contest. The White Sox battle the Royals at 6:15. The Pirates and the Cardinals, another highly important contest with the National League wild card race being so tight. Yesterday, the Cardinals handled the Pirates with these 7-0. Pittsburgh was in the mix for a bit. Now they've ran into a little bit of a wall. They'll try to get back on track tonight. San Francisco will look to make it 3 straight against the Rockies. Drew Pomeranz will take the mound at 6:40 tonight for the Giants. We have the Astros at the Angels at 8:07, and then Seattle at Oakland in the nightcap. That's a quick check of what's happening in the national sports front. Again, we'll give you the local sports recap in just a moment. We'll be joined by Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, who joins us each week to break down the Major League ranks, and we'll talk some boxing as well, and a whole lot more. It's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Auto Farm Studios, and we'll be back right after this.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Feeling like a bullet,
jumping at a gun. We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And we're going to talk Major League Baseball. Typically, we're joined by Bill Lasky every Monday, but due to a doubleheader between the Rockies and Giants yesterday, Bill was unable to join us, but he is joining us right now. And yesterday, there were a couple of high-scoring affairs in the Major League ranks. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thanks again for coming to jump on with you for a few minutes. Talking Major League Baseball, and of course the teams are getting hot and staying at the top, but my orange and black, the Giants, are playing extremely well right now.
They certainly are, and we talked about the Giants on the show yesterday. It's so unique, and I gave the deadline as of this weekend. Let's see where the Giants are sitting this weekend, if they become buyers or sellers. But, Bill, really, I don't think anyone could have anticipated that they would put up 19 yesterday against the Rockies, but then they come back in the second game of that doubleheader and pick up a 2-1 win. What's so impressive about that, you give up 3 runs in 2 games on the same day at Coors Field to the Rockies? That just doesn't happen.
Well, especially when they've lost their last 19 out of 22 that they played there. It was just amazing. And then you go back into the Milwaukee Brewers series, and they lost 17 out of 21 there. So they are getting hot at the right time. The youth with Dickerson, Yastrzemski, Slater, guys that you really don't know about are really carrying the load. And then, of course, Brandon Crawford played unbelievable yesterday. Eight or nine RBIs, three home runs. And this is a guy they needed to get hot with, Brandon Crawford. And again, the pitching was great yesterday. So you had great offense the first game and then great pitching. And Derek Rodriguez really needed that outing. He was struggling. And then, of course, the lockdown bullpen with Maranta, Dyson, Watson, and Smith. Let's just see what Farham Zaidi is going to be doing here the next week or two.
All right, but let's play rapid fire here for a second, because the NL wild card is so tight. We go all the way down to the bottom. Even the Mets are only five games out with about, 73, 74 games to play. So I'm going to give you a team, and you tell me yay or nay as far as contention for the playoffs. How does that sound?
All right, let's go.
Okay, let's do it. So right now the Nationals and the Cardinals would hold the wild card spot, and you got Philly right there. So let's start with Philly. Yay or nay? Philadelphia, are they a wild card team or not?
I just think their pitching's blowing up, and yesterday the Dodgers exposed their bullpen. I just don't think they have enough, and I don't think they're going to be buyers.
Okay, what about the Cardinals?
I think the Cardinals have a legit chance. I think they got enough in their tank, and I believe they're going to build that bullpen a little bit more. The Cardinals just have too deep of an organization just to let it flow. I think they have a legit shot.
Yeah, and I'm saying that Washington's a wild card team, Bill, because at the beginning of the year, I thought they had a chance to win that division. I liked Washington. They got off to such a sluggish start, but they're playing good baseball. So I think we can both agree Washington's a playoff team.
I think so, too. I just think their starting staff is just so strong. You know, they were talking about being sellers if they were going to try to move Rendon and a couple other players. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to also build that bullpen, too. I think they're a possibility.
All right, if we go underneath Philly, right now it's Milwaukee by a half a game. I like Milwaukee to possibly even steal the division. So this is where it gets interesting, because if we're talking Washington and St. Louis, that means maybe the Brewers or the Cubs are out. What do you think of Milwaukee?
I don't think they have enough. Watching them this past the weekend when they played the Giants, I just don't believe their starting staff strong enough, even though they only go four or five innings. Zach Davies threw a hell of a game on Saturday. But I don't think they have enough. And in their bullpen, they're talking about coming over here and trying to get Dyson and Smith. And that's going to proceed on what the Giants are going to do. So I don't think they have enough in the pitching aspect.
All right, let's talk NL West. We have three teams right after that. The Diamondbacks are a game out. The Rockies are two games out. Padres are two and a half out. Now, Bill, when I look at these three teams, the Diamondbacks to me are in a similar situation as the Giants. There's a couple of pitchers. They could become sellers. But right now, they're a game out of the wild card spot. The Rockies, I really don't know. And as far as the Padres, I still think they're a year away.
So do I, and I look at the NL West, you know, playing each other so much in the next 2 months, I just think they're going to beat each other up. And I'm talking like if Colorado plays Arizona or San Diego plays the Giants, you know, win two out of three or win one out of three. I just don't think any of those four teams, and I'm even throwing the Giants in there, I just don't think they're strong enough. And if they do get in a wild card or if they do get in the playoffs, they are not a strength teams to battle against the teams like the Dodgers. And I think the Cubs are going to start playing better baseball, too. I just don't think any of those teams in the NL West are going to be able to contend.
Well, that next level would begin with the Giants. They're at 45 and 49, and you know this team inside and out. And the Giants have what it takes. If let's say they're not sellers over the next week, week and a half. They decide to stay pat. Do they have enough to climb that three-game hurdle?
You know, they're playing extremely well right now. You can't beat it. 8 out of 10. You know, number one in runs scored in the month of July. 24 home runs as a team. They're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. They're on a nice run. Don't get me wrong. I'm an orange and black kind of guy out here. But, again, I believe Farham is still going to try to get rid of Bumgarner, still going to try to get rid of Dyson and Smith. I just don't think he's going to hold on. I think he's going to look at potential cases where he can build two or three players. They were talking about the Oakland A's wanting Bumgarner and Will Smith and giving them three top AAA players. And all those players were good because I get to see them when I'm playing when I'm doing Sacramento games. The other side, Milwaukee's talking about giving up their best young AAA outfielder for Will Smith. So there are being some offers being taken, and Farham's going to wonder what he's going to do. But I think these last two games in Colorado, they play today and tomorrow, are meaningful for the Giants. If somehow, some way, they can win one or two of these and take three out of four, they come back and they play the Mets, Cubs, and Padres for the homestand before the 31st. That's going to dictate what Farham's going to do.
After we get below the Giants, I mean, we have the Pirates, we have the Reds, the Mets, and then the Marlins, who are well out of it right now. But the Mets would be the second-to-worst team in the National League, and Bill, they're 5.5 games out of the wild card. Can you remember a season where it's been this close and this compact?
At this time of the year, maybe, you know, but as you start progressing into August, the dog days of August, of course, you're going to see some teams just fall out of the race. And I think the Mets, with Zach Wheeler going down, I think that was their big trade chip. And now that he had shoulder inflammation, that's off the table. I just don't think they have enough. Sure, Alonso's carrying them. I just don't believe they're going to be in the wild card chase.
Again, Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher and now a current analyst for the Giants and Sacramento RiverCats, joining us. On the flip side, if we take a look at the American League, I mean, Boston's two out. Oakland, a team I know you're well familiar with, they've won 8 out of 10 games. They are now right there to get into the wild card. I think they're a half game back of Cleveland, if I remember correctly. Then after that, Bill, I mean, the Rangers are in the race, and you got the Angels. Once you get past the Angels at 4.5, we're talking double digits from the White Sox all the way down. The AL is not even remotely as competitive as the National League. Yet at the same time, I look at a team like Boston, two out. If they get into the postseason, they can make some noise. I feel the same way about the Oakland A's. I feel the same way about the Cleveland Indians. These are teams that I think could make noise in the American League. We're in the NL. It may be a little bit more compact for the wild card, but I think we know who the cream of the crop is there.
I agree with you 100%. I think you look at Boston and Oakland, and I watch Oakland out here all the time as well as the Giants, and they just have a team that just doesn't quit. They got youth. They got some substantial, great superstars that, you know, with Chapman and just the pitching staff. And I just think the Oakland A's, you can't throw them out. And, of course, they just picked up Homer Bailey to try to strengthen the rotation. They're still looking at different pieces to add. Their bullpen's pretty good, but I still think they can add some people there. You know, when you look at all these teams that are going to be buyers or sellers, what's the number one thing they're looking for is pitching. You never hear them going, oh, we need a second baseman or shortstop. I believe the team with the best pitching staff is going to get in the wild card, and then it's all on from there. But once you start playing with the number one teams, I don't think any wild card team can get in there and literally disrupt the first place teams. There's just too many good teams. Cleveland and Minnesota still a battle. Milwaukee Cubs still a battle with St. Louis. Other than that, the Dodgers are so strong. The Yankees are so strong. And you can go on with a couple more, too.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And as you mentioned, pitching with the deadline right around the corner. If it's not Madison Bumgarner, in your mind, who becomes the next prize possession? Is it Matthew Boyd in Detroit? Is it Trevor Bauer out of Cleveland? I would assume that the Indians would still be open to moving him. Is it Marcus Stroman in Toronto? Or maybe is it Zach Greinke in Arizona? Who becomes the next prized pitcher if it's not Madison Bumgarner?
I'm going to throw a new name to you, Robbie Ray from the D-backs.
Okay.
I've seen his name a few times. I don't think Zach Greinke is still that guy anymore. I think Robbie Ray being a left-handed starter, I know Milwaukee was looking at him, St. Louis had their nits in him. You hear the names pop out, and sometimes as an ex-player, once the name is exposed, the deal is done. You usually don't hear the names when the deal is ready to get done. You hear him after, and I think after the fact is worth thinking about him. I think what they did, they try to make a deal. It's still hot, or I should say it's still warm, but it's not hot anymore. And Robbie Ray's name's been kicking around here as well as Trevor Bauer. I think that's the big name. And, of course, like I said, Zach Wheeler was a huge name along with Bumgarner. So I think some of those names are hot. But again, we don't know where they're going. The latest rumor with Bumgarner is Atlanta. Atlanta is coveting him extremely. And I think that would be a huge move by the Braves. I think that would be a legit move with the Giants if they do trade for the Braves.
I got to point this out, Bill. I like the fact that you bring up Robbie Ray, because one of the things that gets overlooked in trade talk is the amount of money that these guys are owed. And while Greinke, there's name recognition, and I believe Greinke ends up in the Hall of Fame. I think he's been that elite of a pitcher. It's more difficult to move Greinke based on, what is it, 35? I think he's owed a majority of his $35 million this year, $35 million the next year, and I believe $30 million, if I'm not mistaken, the year after that. Robbie Ray, it's $6 million. I mean, that's a whole lot easier to move than a massive deal from Zach Greinke.
It sure is. And then you look at Madison Bumgarner, free agent at the end of the year. Will Smith, free agent at the end of the year. You're going to be able to put a contract together to keep him, or are you going to walk away with that? So you got to look at also the free agents that are also being thrown in there, because a team's not going to give up two prize prospects for a rental for 2 months if you can't sign them. Now, through a couple inside people that I know Atlanta is talking to Bumgarner's agent on a four-year deal over $100 million. So maybe that is what's holding that deal up, to try to see if Bumgarner comes here with Atlanta, can we sign him? And if they do sign, when they trade him, then they'll offer that deal, and they got him for another 4 years. And I think that's some of the stuff behind the scenes that we don't hear about, and some of the people that I've known in the game of baseball are telling me some of the things behind, and I think that's one of the things that with Bumgarner, you've got to make a deal before it's done.
Again, Bill Lasky, former major league pitcher, now an analyst for the Giants, and also doing color commentary for the Sacramento RiverCats. Bill, it is a pleasure to get you on every week. Of course, the guests that you have lined up on your show, your weekend show in San Francisco, it's been off the charts over the last couple of months. You guys have been on fire. Please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, if you go on KNBR, that's the sports leader, the flagship here in San Francisco. We do podcasts up there also to listen to our show. We got a late-night show Saturday night. We have John Matlock with the Mets, one of the great Mets. And then we have Kevin Mitchell coming on, Greg Jeffrey. So we got a few Mets coming on. We'd like to reach back in a time machine and get some of these guys that have played with the organizations and talk baseball of how it was then and how it is now. And then also at Lasky19 on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot. I just more or less throw some things out there when we're on, stuff of that nature. But it's always a pleasure talking to you. I know next Monday is going to be another one of those weeks, buyers or sellers, and maybe we'll have some more hot names out there and see what's going to happen before then. But, again, looking forward to talking to you every Monday, and thanks again for bringing me on Tuesday this week.
No, I love it. Love it, Bill. Thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Interesting news right there on the trade front in Major League Baseball here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk boxing. We had the sad news over the weekend of the passing of Sweet Pea Pernell Whitaker. To me, I think he's one of the top 10 greatest welterweights in the history of the sport. We'll talk about that, plus preview Saturday night's matchup. Manny Pacquiao is still at it. He'll go toe-to-toe with Keith One-Time Thurman. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
That sound, of course, means time for some boxing talk here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. A couple of different topics to get into. One on the sadder side, as we discussed earlier on in the week, the passing of Pernell Whitaker, Sweet Pea, passing away at the age of 55, tragically. We'll talk about the career of Whitaker. And also coming up this weekend, Manny Pacquiao will step back into the ring as he goes toe-to-toe with Keith Thurman. Joining us right now to break down these two topics, we have our boxing insider and analyst, Tony Whitby. Tony, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be here, Jimmy.
Let's start by talking about the sudden news of Whitaker passing away earlier on this week. I mean, this one really came out of nowhere, Tony. And you and I had a conversation before we jumped on the air. It seems that boxing deaths, they typically come out of nowhere. And it's typically tragic. And I don't know if it's because it's an individual sport and, the elite company in the sport of boxing, it's so small, that circle is so small. But there's no question that Pernell Whitaker definitely is in that elite company, really dominated throughout the 80s and early 90s. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. This came out of nowhere, and it's a very sad weekend for boxing nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, in this generation of fighters that he fought in, a lot of people would agree that he was very underrated overall. His overall skill set, nobody was like him. You know, just the way he came out, how small he could get in the ring, and with that, just his overall length, his arm length, and how small he could get was just something that nobody's ever really seen before, and he was smooth. We're talking about a time before, you know, the likes of Floyd Mayweather. You know, it was just a different era, you know, at the end of the day. And it's a sad loss for the entire boxing community.
Absolutely. So, you know, going back and taking a look at Whitaker's career, I think it's very simple. It's a shame that it really took this tragedy for people to start talking about what he accomplished. And if I go back over and I take a look at a couple of controversial losses, De La Hoya, Ramirez, Chavez, I thought he was on the bad end of the scorecard on all three of those fights. Legacy would have looked a little bit differently, obviously, if he would have won. But as you mentioned, Tony, it takes a tragedy to really appreciate what he gave to the sport.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I remember being a kid and watching him fight Chavez live. You know, even of being a Mexican descent, I'm still a boxing fan first, in a sense. And I had Sweet Pea winning that fight as well. I know some people in the room weren't happy with my decision. But overall, that to me was kind of the one that kind of set precedence. The fight before that, when he fought McGurk, that was a beautiful fight as well. But, you know, you can go back to the Paez fight even before that. I mean, again, this was a time when everybody fought everyone, and they did a bunch of round robins. You know, he deserved that fight against Chavez, in my opinion. You know, he rematches McGurk again. The one that would be a little bit more controversial to a lot of people as well was the De La Hoya fight. Again, same scenario as being, you know, of Mexican descent, De La Hoya, you know, big star at the time. A lot of people had Sweet Pea winning that fight also.
When looking back at the fights that we just talked about, how much did the, I guess we can call it the suspension and the lack of a second fight with De La Hoya, how much did that affect his career, Tony, knowing that he tested positive twice during that span?
Yeah, I think it affected it largely because, you're waiting for these huge paydays and you're running into those types of circumstances. That's going to mess with you, without a doubt. There's no way that couldn't. And then you come back and you end up fighting Trinidad and losing. You know, it's going to take a toll.
Absolutely. And you talk about the Trinidad fight. He was the much bigger, much fresher, I guess you could say, fighter in Trinidad, obviously, at that stage in his career. But nonetheless, Tony, it was a different era for boxing. And this is something I had talked to a couple of friends about yesterday. Going back to the 80s and 90s, the sweet science was just more respected, I think, even by the lighthearted boxing fans in the 80s and 90s than it is today. And so the appreciation for Whitaker during his time, I thought, was tremendous. Maybe it didn't age as well, but at the time of his eliteness, I felt like people really respected what he could do in the ring.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you could say is he was in that cusp of fighters from the late 80s, and again, being an Olympian from the 84 Olympics, you know, kind of probably his first renowned fight was taking out Roger Mayweather. When you look at where he was at, you know, a southpaw coming from Virginia, it kind of looked like there wasn't another guy like that. And it was nice that he was with Main Events, who would take their fighters, really groom them, really house them. You know, I know Kathy Duvas sent out a statement. When you look at the overall totality of his career, it's something that you're not going to see a lot of these type of people 20 years from now when you're looking at their records and seeing everything. The styles, the name of the fighters. I mean, when he took out Azuma Nelson, that was a big deal in 1990. You know, you would want to watch Sweet Pea fights. It was something like, hey, I'm going to watch this. Stylistically, his leg movements, he was just smooth and more flawless, and you're right, because people then, maybe boxing was more in front of people all the time. It wasn't just, you know, all about knockouts. It wasn't just all about, you know, how fast you can knock somebody out type scenarios. You had people that had an art to it, some charisma behind it. And when you have a different Henri style of being a left-handed guy from Virginia, again, his arm length, go back and look at this footage. Look and see how just long his arms are and how small he is. And when I say small, he'll crouch down, he'll almost like knee and get so low, and just people will wing shots. You don't see that type of style anymore because it's dangerous to do because you can get knocked out real easy doing it. But, you know, Sweet Pea always found a way to, you know, make it happen for himself.
You take a look at some of the greatest welterweights in the history of the sport. Floyd Mayweather is obviously going to be mentioned. Sugar Ray Leonard, Henry Armstrong, Ray Robinson. When I talk about the greatest welterweights of all time, Tony, I believe you have to put Sweet Pea Whitaker in the conversation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, with the welterweight division being such a renowned division, I mean, that list is going to be huge. But, yeah, I don't think you can talk about welterweight greats without mentioning them. You know, I don't know where he ranks in that. I mean, everyone can kind of, you know, have their own guesses and whatnot. One thing you could say, he's one of the best southpaws in welterweights without a doubt.
No doubt.
But that being said, it's a huge loss to the community, and it's sad. I would encourage anyone who's listening to us talk right now, and you have no clue who we're talking about, even if you do, just go on YouTube and type in his highlights. Spend 3 minutes watching a video, and you'll be entertained. I promise you that.
No question. Again, we're being joined right now by Tony Whitby, our Drive Time Sports boxing analyst. Let's move on and talk about the fight coming up this Saturday. I'm intrigued. Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman, and I'm intrigued because here are two fighters that have a lot to prove, Tony, and I can't believe I'm saying this about Keith Thurman. If you'd have told me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that Keith Thurman would fight Manny Pacquiao in 2019, I would have told you this fight wouldn't go 10 rounds. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Pacquiao has looked a lot better over the last couple of bouts, and the inactivity of Keith one-time Thurman makes this fight very interesting. It's a fight that I'm definitely willing to pay for based off of the unknown going into it.
Yeah, this fight, I mean, I think the moment that this fight got announced, we both talked about it and said, put this on our calendars, because this is such a strange fight. And maybe we say that sometimes, but this time it really is such a strange fight because the progression of Manny Pacquiao coming back from losses that he's had in his previous, you know, in previous years, the stylistically how he's changed, the lack of number of fights that Keith Thurman fights in general, you know, the amount of ring rust that could possibly be there. Stylistically, at one time he looked very fun and entertaining. In my opinion, it's just an opinion, the last couple of fights have not been the most exciting, and I mean, he's the younger, you know, fresher fighter. Pacquiao's, you know, much older, seasoned, you know, rugged vet, but still he's Manny Pacquiao. There's a lot of interest in this fight. There's a lot of people, and some of it may be hyperbole, already claiming this is going to be fight of the year. It does, all the elements are there. So I think anytime we can see that, we get excited about it to see if it ends up happening.
Yeah, you know, going back and looking at Pacquiao and the way we view him, he was on such a tear, 2008, 2009, 2010. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And we finally got the match between Mayweather and Pacquiao, and it was underwhelming. Obviously, it was underwhelming. But again, Mayweather was so spectacular defensively in that fight that I think we all just assumed that Pacquiao had taken a major step back. I don't know that he necessarily did, Tony. If you go on after that, yes, he lost the fight to Horn. Very entertaining fight. There are a lot of variables you have to consider in a fight like that I think get thrown by the wayside, including where that fight took place. It was outside. It was a different type of venue. You throw in all these variables, but you just look at what Pacquiao has accomplished since that Mayweather fight in 2015. I think maybe we all rush to judgment a little bit on it being the end of his career because he has shown definitely flashes of saying, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm still elite in this division.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, it looks like to me, when you overall look at it, maybe that the Floyd Mayweather fight was more of a speed bump than, you know, a stop sign for him. You know, the fact that he came back and, you know, beat Matisse, beat Broner, you know, and it, you know, looked good doing so. You know, he has the potential. If you're taking out a young prime Keith Thurman, you know, he wins another belt yet again. He has to be ranked one of the best heavyweight welterweights, one that could be a really good of an argument, even taking that loss to Floyd Mayweather. You know, at the end of the day, whose career is more entertaining? Not necessarily who made the most money, but if you had to sit down and watch tape of somebody, would you want to spend, you know, 2 days watching Mayweather fights or Pacquiao fights?
For me, Mayweather fights. I don't have to think twice about that. But nonetheless, a loss to Floyd Mayweather is not damning, Tony. He never lost. Anyone who fought this guy lost to him. So it's really not that damning on the resume.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's still, well, no comment on that. You know, we can get into that. But, you know, when it comes to Pacquiao, I just really look at him. He's more entertaining, more fun to watch. He's fought way more people than Floyd Mayweather as far as overall history of fighting. In my opinion, more exciting fights. I mean, the trilogies, the battles that he's went into, the willing to take risk, that you cannot argue is going to be won by Pacquiao. I mean, he's still fighting today at the age that he's at, and he's taking risks taking this young Keith Thurman. And let's not take anything away from Thurman, even though, you know, I've kind of been sour on him. There was a time where I was really high up on him because he was an entertaining fight. He's called one time for a reason, and he was knocking people out. So he can be dangerous. It's just, personally, we haven't seen that in such a long time because he doesn't fight very frequently.
You know, I don't know. For me, I got to go all the way back to 2015 when I started seeing some flaws in Keith Thurman's game, and this was against Robert Guerrero. Since that point, he beat Louis Collazo. I know he beat Sean Porter. Danny Garcia, and if I'm not mistaken, the last time he fought it was against Josecito Lopez, correct? So you go back and you take a look at what Thurman has done since 2015, not a lot of activity, and a lot of that, Tony, to be fair to Keith Thurman, has to do with injuries in the sport as well.
That is true. We should mention that there is also claims that some of those injuries could have been exaggerated. So you're not wrong, and I think the exaggeration is quite possible as well.
So all in all, when you take a look at it on paper, there's no doubt Keith Thurman should win this fight. There's no question on paper he should. Which way are you leaning? Because just because he should on paper doesn't mean he's going to. And in fact, right now, Tony, I'm torn on this. One day I think Pacquiao, one day I think Thurman. Which way are you leaning in this fight on Saturday?
You know, this is one of those fights where you either go with your head and go with logic or you go with your heart. I'm going to go with my heart on this. I think from an overall story's perspective, it would seem pretty cool to see Pacquiao win, you know, get another bout, you know, add it to his legacy. But don't get it twisted that if Keith Thurman wins, he could sit there and say, look, I took out, you know, a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, that's big for him as well. There's a lot on the line for this fight. There's a lot of general interest, even casual interest in this fight, and it's deservedly so. But I'm going with Pacquiao on this overall decision. I think it's going to be a majority decision, and I think it's going to be really tight.
Right now, the money line has Pacquiao at minus 145, Thurman at plus 100, very close. A draw would be at plus 1600. I don't see a draw on this fight because I'm like you. If it does go to the decision, unless Pacquiao touches the mat, I think it favors Pacquiao. But Tony, I'm going to go with logic on this fight, and I'm going to take Keith Thurman. Now, maybe I'm stupid for doing that because Manny Pacquiao is a Hall of Famer. And again, he has looked fantastic. But just looking at it, there's no reason Keith Thurman should not win this fight on Saturday.
Well, again, I think the ring rust, I think stylistically, I mean, if we want to talk about stylistics on this, I think it's a bad fight for Thurman, quite honestly. If we still get glimpses of young Pacquiao or even Pacquiao from the Broner fight, I think that same Pacquiao that fought Broner would beat Thurman this Saturday night.
Looking forward to it. Manny Pacquiao against Keith Thurman. Obviously, Tony, we're going to have a lot to break down on this fight next week and plenty more boxing to talk about in the very near future. It's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for joining us and talking about Pernell Whitaker and also the fight on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to be here, Jimmy.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studio on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back to close out this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun to talk some national, and I'll tell you, I'm really excited about the upcoming weekend as far as boxing goes. It's going to be a dynamite fight. I appreciate Tony Whitby taking out the time to join us to kind of break that down. And also Major League Baseball. We have some great guests lined up that will be joining us in the very near future. In fact, later on this week, we're going to be joined by one of the stars of the movie Blue Chips. Remember that movie with Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, and Penny Hardaway? It's a terrific show. The character in which the entire movie was based on, the point shaver, he's going to be joining us to talk about the experience of Blue Chips. 25 years ago, that movie was released. And we're also going to be catching up with legendary Oakland A and San Francisco Giant pitcher Vita Blue. It's another guest that we'll be getting on the show here relatively soon. So a lot of great guests still to join us in the coming days. I do have to give a shout out to the Emory 8-year-old All-Star team. They are continuing action today. They did lose last night 17-6, but they will look to get a victory as they are in Long Beach, California. For the next couple of days, you can keep tabs on that Emory squad at CastleCountryRadio.com. And also tonight, we'll have some Helper American Legion baseball as well. A lot more local sports to talk about in the next couple of days. Coming up next, it is Tuesday, so we have more sports. NASCAR Live is right around the corner. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Vinny Rondinelli, and we will talk NFL football. Have a terrific Tuesday. Be safe. I am out.